Lizzie and Whipper.
Hey, podcasters. Happy Tuesday, guys. Fair bit coming up in the show. Don't know the rundown. That's what usually it is around here, isn't it? Like, you just need some help sometimes just by your fellow employees. But here at Nova, they're too busy going through the old prize cupboards looking for bloody Bruno Mars CDs.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I wasn't listening.
What have we got these days? What merchandise? Trucker caps?
We've got trucker caps. We've got new drink bottles. We've got bottle opener key rings.
Drink bottles are good in this day and age, isn't it?
How were you and I on the bus going to the races the other day when we said, who's got a bottle opener? Snitchy, who works here.
Bottle openers.
Bottle opener on the key ring.
Kate, Tim and Marnie have got a kangaroo scrotum bottle opener, which is personally signed by all three before it actually comes off the kangaroo as well, which is weird.
Tough one to sign.
Hard to hold it down and sign it. I mean, there's Marty with a Sharpie pen just trying to
pin it down and
get the old left agate and put Marty on there.
Writing Shigsy on it.
With a smiley face. Yep. But anyway, if you want to win some of those prizes, give us a call. Our number is 7. Coming up next, stuff.
I want to know if you sleep at work. A story has come out about the Sydney airport. Staff have resorted to sleeping on dirty sheets and makeshift beds underneath the terminals because they can't afford to go home between their shifts.
It's not bad.
So they've got sleeping bags, got pillows set up there. There's a couple of cardboard boxes just next to the baggage carousel. I mean, Muhammad, who listens to the show, he works out of the airport. Give us a call, Muhammad.
Do they sleep under the airport? I mean, there's always these great stories. I'd find it so comfortable, Sarah, if you could, at your desk, you've got a good little... You've got quite a bit of room in your office there. You could maybe under your desk just put a little bed out, Sarah, and
you
just sleep there overnight.
Out.
I have often thought about that, though the walls are glass. I reckon people would see me under my desk.
Do you know where I've thought about this before, and I have done it at work before. Where would you sleep?
In the production booth.
So would
they're
I.
They're nice and dark.
And they're silent. And they're soundproof.
Yeah.
Yep. The problem with sleeping at a radio station, which happened to me the other day, you may have seen the footage, I was sitting at my desk and just knocked off quietly. I was in my own comfort, but sitting in a glass booth of an office, and you've got a video camera on you. And the next thing you know, someone will be filming and there'll be a prank played on you.
No.
Whether there'll be a bucket of water dumped over your head or you'll get a pie in the face. Yeah. That's just
someone
life
always
around
gets you. I mean, I was asleep at your wedding speech, and I thought someone will get me any second now.
There's nothing wrong with having a kip at work. I used to work for a company called Oxley Brothers. They made tennis nets. And they also
What was your job there?
I had to sew the nets. They made tennis curtains.
You
know, like at the back of a...
And you were sewing? With like a hand needle thread or a machine?
No, you had a huge plastic needle. And you would want... You know how you sit at the back of a tennis court? You know, you drag the curtain across so the balls can't get out the back of the court?
Yeah.
Someone's got to sew them on to the rope that goes...
How did that come about? Where did you see that advertised?
Dad's mate had the business. And
he owned a few tennis courts around town.
Dad's mate had this business. And he also, they did foam supplies as well. Mm. So that was the highlight. So at lunchtime, if you'd finished sewing one of your nets together, you'd just head over to the foam section and bang, you were gone. You were fast asleep for an hour.
Well, see, that
was just perfect.
Same at Mitsubishi in the seat section. It was so comfortable. There was just pads everywhere, Sarah, and there was just... And there were big pits that people wouldn't even know that you're in there.
That's what we used to do at school. When you do gymnastics, they always had big areas with the same sort of thing, big foam pits or mats, and you could just curl.
Nothing beats it. Maddie, I work for a fashion company called Deschamps.
I reckon the history of your job career,
I'm having to write it down.
It's just jobs that your old man set up for you from people that he knew.
No, that's not true. Well, this was his cousin, actually.
Looking after luxury interests that he would like to have discounted.
The shop is a very base, consumer-based fashion line, and if you get enough pairs of beige pants and lay them out, because I was in the warehouse, I wasn't selling them on the floor.
I was doing the hard yards.
Oh, right. Mate, I was slaving it away.
He was sewing again.
Sweating with my hands greased up in the back of the warehouse. But if you got enough pairs of those cargo pants, you could have a sleep on
them. Why are your hands greased up in the back of the warehouse?
Because that's what warehouse work entails. So unless you've ever worked in a warehouse, mate, I'm not afraid of some of the gigs I've had.
How long did you last in that job?
Oh, about 3 months till I moved on to the next one.
Went back to Dan and said, what other mates have you got?
From one sweatshop to another.
Where's your CV? It's building quickly.
I don't know if you saw A Current Affair last night, ACA.
Just missed it.
It's always a bit of a chuckle.
Can I guess?
What?
How much sugar is in your kid's cereals?
No, no.
Dodgy mechanics?
No.
Neighbours at war.
Supermarket wars is always a good one,
yes.
Seth.
Yep, yep.
Neighbours from hell. Welfare cheats?
Yep, welfare cheats. Dodgy car washes?
No, this was the promo.
What a pile of shit.
What a pile of shit. Okay, so they went through the cruise ships. It's interesting. It's dominating so much at the moment, the industry, the cruise ship industry, that they reckon in a few years, 2 million a year, 2 million Australians a year will go on cruise ships.
Are you serious?
So it's going up 20% every year.
Mate, it's quite a smart breather for the planet, if you ask me. Don't get me wrong, there's plenty of exhaust coming from those ships. But just to get people off the land, we will never have so many people living at sea. Mm. Than we do when these cruise ships continue to dominate.
And because it's so popular at the moment, ACA thought that they would do the top five complaints from cruise ships and go through all the things that people are blowing up about.
How do you do gastro five times?
Yeah, you do. You know what, Trace?
Well, let's have a listen. Let's have a listen to what it came down to.
Coming in at number five is the unrefined passenger, drunk and foul-mouthed. At number four, those block toilets. Sitting at three, expensive onboard drinks and tours. The silver, breakdowns and missed ports. And the number one complaint, the old gastro outlay.
Wow.
Oh, ship.
What a pile of ship. That Sun Princess, they had a few people on from that one where they had about 90 people broke out.
That wasn't great. Did the kitchen staff have anything to say?
And then they just had this other footage of just people fighting in the bars.
Yeah.
That when they say it's unlimited drinks... They said, one woman goes, by 7 o'clock at night, everyone was para.
Oh, dear.
Do you just go on the cruise so you can have unlimited drinks?
And
so
lose 10 kilos.
Are people
kilos?
So sick of paying money for grog they get on a cruise ship?
So basically the whole time she said you just spend in your room because you don't want to go near anyone.
No, I can imagine.
I just love that promo line.
What a pile. Oh, shit.
I don't know if you've seen A Current Affair tonight, but the headline is, the results are in for the authenticity of Matt DeGroote's traffic report.
A pile of shit.
Tomorrow night on the show, we review Tom Time.
Pile of shit.
Hey, what about letters to the editor? Does that get a run?
What a pile of shit.
And next week, we've uncovered Michael Whipfley's Builder's TAFE certificate.
A pile of shit.
There's no question that's a stupid question like any question I know.
So, don't feel stupid. So, Tom, the difference between Pepsi and Coke... Because they're both cola,
yes.
But they taste different.
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Coke is slightly saltier than Pepsi.
Saltier?
Yeah. But Coke has less sugar, which means Pepsi is sweeter.
Oh, got ya.
But chemically, because Fitz, you wanted to know what the exact sort of details were.
Mm. Yeah.
There's a... Coke has a vanillin chemical in it, which gives it a vanilla taste.
Yep.
While Pepsi has more citrus flavour. And the reason for the citrus flavour in Pepsi was all invented about how Pepsi wanted to beat Coke, so they invented the Pepsi sip test, which meant that if you took one little sip, Pepsi would taste better than Coke.
Oh, right, but then if you drink a whole can, it gets a bit sickly.
That's right.
Right.
There you go.
So but who they were never selling it as a sip.
No, they tried to get people on board. Yeah. Coke was out first, mate. So they were going around with little sips going, mate, this one tastes better. So people would have a sip of Pepsi and go, we've got to buy that.
Yeah, we've got to buy that. And then you'd have one full can and go, forget it, I'm not buying it again.
Well,
Bad idea.
Well, it didn't. Well, it took off, mate. It's massive. Now it's worth billions.
Yeah, it's going to take off soon. Chloe, hello.
Hey, how you going?
Good, Chloe. What's your question?
Hey, before we start, I heard you're doing a bit of a keyring blitz. Can I get a keyring?
You sure can. Bang. 1,675's coming your way, Chloe.
Thanks, guys. No. My question is something that I've always wondered, and why is it that you never see a baby seagull?
It's the same as baby pigeons. You never see them.
Yeah.
Or do you not know what they look like, Sarah?
Well, wouldn't they just look like a miniature pigeon?
Yeah, but maybe they just all look like baby birds and therefore we've never really known if it was a seagull.
Well, they're in the nest, obviously. When they're really young, they're in the nest.
But they're not in the nest till they look like a full seagull, are they?
You see sort of adolescent seagulls, don't you? Ones
How do
that
you
are
know?
A bit skinnier and a bit smaller than the others. They're like the teenage ones.
It's like Ricky Gervais. Ricky Gervais talks about how you'd never see a middle-aged Chinese man. They're always younger or they're older. There's no one in the middle there.
Oh, no.
It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. Tommy, is there an answer on that?
Yeah. So, Fitz, you are spot on. They stay in the nest pretty much until they can fly. So when they can fly, they can search for food. So they're pretty much full size until they... and then they leave the nest.
Jeez, that's a tight nest.
Isn't it?
But if you want to see them, go out onto Sydney Harbour on a kayak and you'll see all baby seagulls in the nests around the harbour.
Tommy Williams would see them. He's on his kayak.
Yeah, he goes out there quite
a
bit.
So, Tommy, but why don't we see huge nests? Because their nests would need to be quite large.
Well, yeah, they would be large, but they are all around the harbour, dotted up in trees.
Under the bridge.
Love it when you start making it up because you don't have the answer.
Well, no, I've told you where you can go and see them.
Yeah, but I've asked further detail and you haven't got it.
Move on, Jordan in Cronulla. What's your question, George?
Hey, guys, I've always wondered, why is it that everyone hates the sound of their nails scratched on a blackboard?
Oh, yeah, okay. That is one of the most annoying sounds of all time,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
A shocker, isn't it?
Is it that you can almost, when you hear it, feel the sensation of your nails
breaking?
You can
picture it, can't you?
Yeah, it evokes
that. Do you
know
what? I don't know if you're aware of this, but Fitzy, I lived with Gary, so I know Gary better than Sarah does, Sarah's boyfriend.
Never heard that before.
He hates the feeling of, and he's almost afraid of wet timber.
Oh my God, how did you know that?
Well, I lived with him, I know him better than you.
When you wash a chopping board.
Sorry, I'm just in the middle of a story.
No, hang on, let me finish.
So he won't finish. He won't finish an icy pole because of the stick, and he hates washing a chopping board. Won't wash a chopping board.
Or you hand it to him when you're doing the washing up, and he freaks out.
Yeah, no, I just said that. So, story about Gary and I. From when we lived together.
Tommy, have you got an answer?
Yeah, I absolutely do. So it's all about how it all comes back to survival. So the ear-splitting noise of the fingernails on the chalkboard has the same frequency of as a crying baby and a human scream.
Are you serious?
Yeah, which means that the human ear canal has evolved to know that they are scary sounds.
Jordan, great question. And I'm going to give you keyring number 1676. Caitlin from St. Ives, what's your question, Caitlin?
Hi, guys. I was just wondering, when a bird eats a plant, why don't they get sick?
That's a good point.
When
I've wondered that.
Bird eats a what?
A bull ant.
Oh.
Or something with a stick. You know what? David Attenborough the other day, there was an owl and it ate a scorpion, but it couldn't get stung by the scorpion. And I was thinking the same thing, Caitlin. I mean, if you're going to eat the poisonous sac of the scorpion, what's the difference between it stinging you and then the poison just going into the system via consumption?
Tom Attenborough.
Hello.
You have to give the answer in David Attenborough's voice.
No, I can't because the answer is quite...
This very rare phenomenon.
Oh,
you have to do
that's
that.
That's good, Whip. Well, the reason...
I'm not even going to bother.
So bull ants can actually kill chickens, would you believe?
Can they?
Yeah, bull ants can kill chickens. So if you have a chicken coop, don't have bull ants nearby.
Wasn't the question.
But it's all about the strength of the stomach. So the strength of the stomach of particular birds affects how they are injured by bull ants.
And different animals, like the crocs. Right. Do you know the crocodiles? Their guts, the acid in it is so strong that it just breaks down bones and anything that they eat.
Yeah, right.
So it could actually eat a car and the acid in its guts would actually break down the metal.
I've seen that. Them do that. David Attenborough.
Eat a car.
Yeah, the crocodile.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Michael in Warrawong. Last one. What's your question, Mike?
G'day, mate. Oh, g'day, guys. Sorry. So I was just wondering where on earth having a chin wag came from.
Oh, chin wag.
Chin wag.
Yeah, have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, having a chin wag. Everyone has a chin wag.
I remember the first time I heard it, I lost it. I was on the ground. I'd never heard it before.
Okay.
Chin wag.
All right. Tom, chin wag. The origins of chin wag.
Please,
all right. It's from a Welsh? Yeah, my God. This segment is exhausting me
the
today.
The segment.
Yeah.
Come on, Tommy.
I'm Sarah Wensletters to the editor.
A Welsh village where the host of this pub, she would go around to people whose jugs of beer were empty and she'd go, chin wag, which means you're empty. At some point in the 1800s, that then switched into having a conversation and they don't actually know where or how that switched.
Oh, well, that's
I get a lot of chin sag, Tom. Could you look that up? Just I've got about three of them dangling
well,
away.
Well, that is just a stupid.
Yeah, that's a hard one to
no,
explain.
That's
they
good,
don't
though.
Know the
no,
real reason.
Well, if the origins were chinwag was when you were empty.
Yes,
mm-hmm. That's when your beer runs out. You go chinwag.
Chinwag.
That's what it should be. Yeah. How did it develop into conversation?
I don't know, mate.
That's a stupid question.
That is, hey, yeah. Well, hang on a minute. No question,
I thought
Michael.
You were
going
to have
a stupid question.
Look, we might be having a bit of a feud at the moment with a television network.
I'll take on anyone, mate. Who are we throwing punches at today?
And well done to Magic Millie, who works on the show. Millie, you did get an exclusive yesterday by getting the crocodile guy on who was dead.
Lee? Was it Lee?
Yeah. Lee.
Dared yes. by his mates to jump into the river. He did it to impress a girl, a backpacker, Sophie.
Yeah.
And you tracked him down and got him on the show. Well done, Mill.
Thanks, guys.
Well, unfortunately, sorry, Mill. We thought we got the exclusive, but this is how Peter Overton started the Channel 9 news last night.
Speaking exclusively to Nine News, wow. Leader Paw says he was trying to impress a girl when he jumped into the croc-infested river.
Come on, Pete, get your team to do your research.
So then, but see, this was the thing, Sarah. Mm. Channel 10 News, when's that on?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Sandra.
Sandra.
So Sandra Sully did the story an hour early, or would have been about half an hour earlier. This is what happened on their news.
In the end, it seems DePauw got what he wanted.
Yeah, I got a number and her name is Sophie. I hope through that girl.
Yeah. Do you feel a bit...
me a drink, right?
You'd hope so.
So it was our show.
Now, that sounds like a good chat.
Now, Millie, there was... When you talk exclusives, there's usually money flying here and there. Did you speak to Lee yesterday when you got him on the show?
Yeah, I did.
Did you give him anything?
I gave him a JB Hi-Fi voucher.
Wow. Oh. That's how we pay them here at Nova. Hang on, I've just got to get a credit line away. JB Hi-Fi. For
he
your best in electrical retail. Did
was,
he?
Yeah.
So Channel 9 must have paid.
Yeah, but I said, you know, we don't really do it here that way. And, you know, go and get yourself a nice DVD.
Did Channel 9, did they have Sophie on the program?
Yeah, they did. Sophie was everywhere.
Yeah, sure.
Sophie was on every network, but Lee was only exclusively on the Channel 9 network.
Right.
But then we had him yesterday morning anyway, so we got him first.
Too many exclusives.
But for a young bloke, though, Sarah, 18 years of age, why wouldn't you try to cash in, I suppose?
Yep.
At least he's asking.
Yeah, of course you'd be asking. Plus, he needs it probably because he doesn't sound like a smart guy, so employment's not going to be around the corner, is it?
No. Do you know?
It's making more money than Centrelink.
Not for a while. There's one name coming to my mind at the moment.
Who's that?
Max Markson.
Oh, yeah. Management.
He's got to jump on board. Tom, can you get on to Max Markson?
Oh, do I have to?
Because this kid could be the new Corey Worthington.
What would he do? Like a speaking tour when crocs attack?
That's not bad. Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger's just doing this. He could be
Arnie's warm-up.
Support act for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, how embarrassing.
The Crocodile
for Arnie.
Kid and Arnie. See them live on stage.
Yeah.
And Sophie. And she's just to the side and chips in and just comes in with, I'm still not impressed.
And there's like a
I still think it was a silly move.
And there's a blow-up croc.
Exclusive.
Coming
on
up
stage.
Next, Arnie. Good friend of the show, and we're just, I don't know, we're a little bit worried about him here. I think this needs to be a team intervention where we get Todd in and we just talk to him about sorting his life out. He's got a family now. He needs to concentrate on that because he's putting his life on the line, literally. And that's the name of the show, which begins tonight, 8 p.m. on ABC. Toddy Sampson, welcome.
Good morning. So it's funny you say that about my family, right? So if you ask my wife right now, I have two daughters, 10 and 8-year-olds, and Naomi, my wife. If you asked them or the kids, they would say, I am definitely the weakest link of the four.
Really?
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
They looked at the series. My 8-year-old looked at the series and went, Daddy, you're always looking so scared. It's not that bad.
Oh.
Well, thank you for the support, Jeff.
Mate, the situations you go into, you would assume something is wrong at home. And you just, you know what? The difference
yeah,
is
that's
though.
It. That's it. It's my wife. My wife is creating the shows. Naomi has created all these shows.
Of course she is. When Fitzy and I want to get out of town, we think about a trip to interview celebrities in LA. You try to kill yourself.
Yeah.
I have noticed she's been much more supportive since the insurance was agreed.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
You put your faith in science, though, in this show. But I read the other day that in this series, you're actually doing the buoyancy test where helium balloons, and we always ask about this, how many helium balloons does a human need to get them into the air? And it also can be very, very dangerous because the wind can take off, anything can go wrong. Yeah. You do that in this series.
That's the one that looks the least dangerous.
Yes. Yeah,
and
sure.
I would say was the scariest of all of them. More than getting shot with an AK-47. More than that one.
Like, right.
Because, and I can tell you how many it takes. It takes roughly 120 helium balloons.
Wow.
With the rigging.
Big balloons.
Yes, big balloons. But we had to do them in bunches because if... As you know, once you're up 100 meters, I think I was up 110 meters. Mm. If anything goes wrong, because no one had done this before, and you know they basically worked all night through the night, and they're tying it with very tiny string. So it looks beautiful. It's all colorful. And you get up there and you're thinking, if of these snap, you come sailing, you wouldn't live.
Exactly. Let's talk about the AK-47, because that's underwater, isn't it? That is a great, I suppose... experiment, isn't it? Because you always wonder, and God, even since Gallipoli, bullets underwater and the impact they have.
Well, we'll prove that one way or the other. So the law we looked at here, or the force we looked at, was resistance.
Yep.
Now, an AK-47 above water, like in normal air at the right angle, will travel roughly 2 kilometers.
Right.
Right. So, and by the way, the AK-47 kills around 250,000 people a year. So it's not a nice gun.
God.
I wasn't happy to see it.
No.
So, but underwater, so 2 kilometers above water, but underwater, Cameron McAvoy, Olympic swimmer / physicist.
Yes, one of our best.
Calculated using, about, it took him a half an hour with a calculator, calculated that the bullet would stop due to resistance at roughly 1.8 meters.
Is that all?
Yes. So then I went, let's add an extra meter. Just in case. He got it wrong. Just in case you've been swimming too long and looking at one line way too long. And so I got in the pool and 2.8 meters is point blank range.
Isn't it?
It was... And so,
No.
What are you wearing? And no one tested it before me, right? Because I didn't want to put another human in. I got shorts on. So I get in the pool and I'm going through doubt. And the major issue with the experiment was there was mechanical risk for sure and human error risk. But the big risk is bullets are packed in China on a factory line.
Yes.
And so there's a thing they call the rogue bullet, which is on the line, it's packing, and then it misses one and double packs the second.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
And so you'll see in the film where, and the audience will be wondering, why is he saying that? I look up, why I looked up, I'm not really certain. And I said, just before I said fire, I looked up and said, please don't be a rogue bullet. Then I said, 3, 2, 1, fire. But what I didn't factor in was the shockwave.
Yeah.
So the so my entire crew is not allowed in the pool. We're in Melbourne. Couldn't do it in New South Wales.
Yeah.
And my entire crew was in the back room and looking from behind, looking at me from behind. And all they could see was my body convulse on the boom. And they thought, we shot this bloke.
We got him.
Hey, we got him.
Shoot straight, you bastards.
Tony, that's ridiculous. Lights, camera,
hilarity. Sarah, Kim's big Paris robbery episode.
That's right. It has aired in the US nearly 6 months since coming face to face with robbers in Paris. Kim Kardashian has finally shared her account of the night she feared she would die. This is her telling her sisters what happened.
I was laying in bed like, should I wash my face? I'm so tired. I'm in my robe. And then 10 minutes later, I was like dozing. And then I heard pounding up the stairs. And I thought it was you and Stephanie drunk. I'm calling to them like, hello, hello. And there's no answer. And then I saw two guys holding another guy down in police uniforms, but right outside of my bedroom. So I slid off my bed and picked up my phone. And I'm like, I don't know how to call 911 in a different country. And then the guy came and grabbed the phone for me, threw me on the bed. And I was like, this is it.
Wow. God.
Pretty full on. She obviously thought she was going to be assaulted and that she was going to be shot. Yeah, it is horrible.
Man, that is scary.
Pretty horrible. And amazingly, she does talk about it and she holds herself together for that and says that she's actually made a really positive change in herself since living through that event.
What is it?
I guess she doesn't post so much
on
social
media. I mean,
she's
been quiet, hasn't she?
Yeah. I think she's probably become a bit more reflective. Yeah, the two of them have become pretty quiet.
Has Kanye written a song about it yet?
I hope so.
Oh, God, another miserable song from
Ninjas
Kanye.
Ninjas in Paris.
He's busy dyeing his hair, Fitz. He can't do more than one thing at a time.
Maybe he preempted it.
Apparently, there's a new celebrity feud on the cards. Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman. Not sure how much I believe of this story, but it came out of the New York Daily News. The two of them are starring in this TV show, Big Little Lies.
Oh, BJ's addicted to it.
I'm obsessed. It is fantastic. It's the highest rating show that Foxtel's ever had or some statistic like
she
that.
Goes,
I've just got Game of Thrones on the line.
No, it beat Game of Thrones.
Did it really?
Yep,
that's
massive.
She IQ'd it and she goes, honey, can you go up and get me a coffee up in Balmain? because I can't watch this show without having a coffee in my hand.
It
what is it,
so
Sam? What's
good.
It called?
It's called Big Little Lies. Now, Reese Witherspoon stars in it and is one of the producers. Nicole Kidman's in it. Alexander Skarsgård. Like, everyone in the cast is a name.
Right.
And it's amazing. It's written by an Australian woman based on a book by her. It is so good.
But it's a thriller, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's fascinating. You have to watch it. It's all around this murder mystery. I got Tommy onto it. He talks.
Right, and
so
I've got to
good.
Do it with a coffee in my hand. Is
that
right, Fitz?
Yeah. You got to sit down with the girls. So, Tommy, you could be there.
Oh, no,
there
Gary
as well.
And I watch it I'll together every Monday night.
Gary's idea?
Well, he loves it too.
Yep.
Anyway, you haven't even let me get to the point of this. Apparently, Reese is fairly annoyed because Nicole Kidman was doing so much press for Lion and didn't bring up this TV show. She didn't do any press for it. She was very busy, and so Reese had presumed while you're doing these other interviews, you could actually bring up the TV show.
Don't bring it down, mate. Your show's killing it. Enjoy the success.
Well, it's
you
only
know what
just
I mean?
Killing it now. Nicole was doing these interviews a month or two ago.
She's done it with a spot, I think. She's done it. No,
you're trying to get
tough.
To without a spoon.
Yeah,
aren't you?
Or
that's fine.
With a spoon with a spot.
What?
Yeah, that's. Yeah,
I should have just gone with the standard Reese with a spoon, Reese without a spoon, and we all would have got
it. No, but it didn't make any sense.
Well, yours certainly didn't, sir.
I'm trying to think. What
I'm sorry.
She's just jealous because Nicole is a better actress. Let's be honest.
Ooh,
you're kidding,
they're
man.
They're both pretty amazing. Oh, okay. If I'd known you were just setting up a crap gag.
I didn't know either. It just fell out, to be honest, sir.
Apparently, James Packer, guys, he has his eye on getting back with ex-wife Jodie Mears.
You know what
I
this feels
kind
like?
Of love this.
You know what this feels like?
What?
You know when you want to go back to the times when things were good? I mean, it's a shocking 12 months,
well,
James
sorry.
Packer.
Who looks back in their life and goes, I want to go back to a time that was really bog average?
No, I know, but when
bog
you're
average.
In this bog average, I love that.
That's a
term.
Good name for a band.
Oh, that is
thank
bog
you.
Average.
Bog
hey guys,
average.
Coming up next, bog
where's,
average.
Where'd you get bog average from? Is that
got,
your mum and dad?
No, I think I got it from my brother-in-law because he's English.
Oh, that's bog average.
It does feel like it. Anyway, apparently James Packer got Jodie a $500,000 set of diamond earrings for Christmas last year.
Stop buying girls' gifts, mate.
He just can't let it go.
But you know what? If I was Jodie Mears, to me it seems like James has gone and played the field a little bit. I suppose she has as well. And then you always think to yourself, I can't find anything as good, so I'll go back to you.
Oh,
you're always the last resort.
No, not a default.
No, apparently he's always held a bit of a thing for her.
Mm.
Finally,
who broke that one up to start with, sir?
Just move on. Mate.
Packer and Jodie. No,
I'm
I care about
not
this.
Sure.
Can you make sure tomorrow in your e-news report we find out about why they broke up to start with?
Well, no, but
then we can follow the story from here on in.
They were married for a few years, and in 2002 when they split up, they did say that they both maintained they remained the best of friends.
Oh,
so it feels like a mutual
Rat Pack will make a film about this.
Yep.
I'm into it.
Next story.
Sure.
Thank you.
Finally, Kate Hudson is off the market. I know there were all those rumours about her and Brad Pitt. Obviously, they were not true.
Oh,
she
dang.
Started dating this musician. She certainly has a type. She was with, who was it, Chris Robinson?
Black Crowes.
From the Black Crowes. She was with Matt Bellamy from Muse.
Yes.
Had kids with both of those guys. And now she is with this guy called Danny Fujikawa.
Oh, Fujikawa.
He's from a band, Chief, who aren't together anymore. Anyway, the two of them have been spotted in LA getting hot and heavy at your favourite restaurant, boys.
Where?
Giorgio
Baldi's.
Where they do the good pasta.
Can I just say, and I don't want to sound negative, most overrated actress on the planet.
How dare you?
Oh, hang on a minute.
Take a seat.
I'll take that back. Nicolas Cage is.
Oh,
no, I got that wrong. Ultimatums. That is a big word, guys. Normally, it comes down to relationships. And it happens all the time, and it's happened twice in my circle of friends, where there's been often the girl that says to the guy, and it maybe has something to do with her age, if you're not going to marry me by this date, it's over. What do you want to do?
I love that.
Watching from afar to see it crumble.
The other ultimatum is, if you don't tell your friend about the affair that you're having, I'll do it for you.
That's a great
Tommy. Ultimatum.
Tommy, that's tomorrow's show.
Okay. No. And I want to.
Yeah.
So to any of my mates out there, please cheat on your wife because I wouldn't mind just giving that ultimatum to you.
A mate of mine had to do that once there.
Did
he? He went and told the girl. Yep.
And have they ever spoken
his mates
since?
Took him aside, his actual mates. It wasn't another girl. It'd be like a group of us saying, Tommy, I know that you're cheating on Inga, right? You've got 2 days. They gave him 2 days, or we'll go and tell her.
To fess up or break it off?
Fess up.
Can I?
They pulled her back together.
Can I suggest that there was an ultimatum? Did you hear that story recently about the V8 driver who dominates, Jamie Wincup? Great driver.
Oh, that's right.
Mate, he went on his Bucks night, Sarah.
Yeah.
2 weeks out from his wedding, the next day after the Bucks night, told his fiancée it's over.
Ugh.
Do you reckon that would have been an ultimatum from the boys after a few drinks at the Bucks night?
She's not right for you.
Oh, didn't he just cheat on her?
Oh no!
Is that a confession of guilt?
I don't think Jamie's like that.
Sounds like a great Bucks party,
doesn't it? Your mates sit you down and tell you this is a horrible idea.
It's a ripping Bucks party.
I know.
Love an invite to that.
We've had to do a couple of ultimatums with Tom on the show, haven't we? But they're usually hygiene issues.
Yeah, aren't they? I end up in HR again.
Yeah,
for
no,
the
that
10th time.
Glen 20 shower we've set up outside the studio.
You smell fabulous.
Spend half an hour in each day.
Thanks for your
support. Be nice if you could stick with that.
You have to get sterilised every day, don't you, Tommy, poor bugger?
Medical swabs. It's disgusting.
It takes time.
Heads into Smallsy's surgery for a quick operation.
It's not about me, mate.
You're a pig.
You're disgusting. No, this is to do with relationships and, you know, one that I had, and this was a disaster. I was having a New Year's Eve party, right, at Mum and Dad's place one time.
Oh, that sounds like a hoot.
It was mad. It was wild. It went till 11 o'clock at night.
Thank you to the three people that rocked up as well.
No, mate, it was a good party. You weren't invited. So, auntie, uncle, everyone, cousins, we all had
They're
a great
all
night. It was loose. Anyway, it was an ultimatum set, and it was to a mate of mine. She had said, if you don't propose by midnight on New Year's Eve, then we're breaking up.
Aww.
You don't put pressure on a situation like that. It ruined my entire party. Mm. She ended up in tears.
Oh,
he
all
took
about
me...
you. Some poor girl's just lost their relationship.
Why would you do it? Why would you do it on that night, at that event?
Yeah, you were making out with Auntie Cheryl in the back shed.
Which was really weird. I had to come out of the back shed and say, guys, just don't ruin the party. A couple of other stories in this article here. It says, I gave my fiancé the ultimatum to get married right now or get a pet. He chose the pet.
Ooh.
My friend got her boyfriend to propose. He then walked out 2 days before the wedding.
My mum did this to my dad. She said to him, we either get married or we're ending things.
Do you know how long they were together for, Serge?
They've been together 40 years now, I think.
Before
that moment, yeah.
I was going to say, it's been a while. I don't know.
We know it worked. There's four kids. We know what his decision was.
We've been together for 40 years. Do you want to marry me or not?
I think it was at least a year or two.
What about this one? My best friend is getting married to a girl who gave him the ultimatum. He needs me to talk him into the decision. Shouldn't he not have to be talked into this decision? It's kind of a big deal.
Force
ugly.
Yeah, ultimatums. I'd love to hear from anyone who has just proposed an ultimatum to their partner. Does it have to be, you know, proposals, or can it be cheatings or affairs and stuff like that?
I'd love proposals. Or we could do big decisions. I mean, Sarah, if you had to be put on the spot, Gary or Winnie, what are you going to do?
I can't make that choice.
I mean, let's be honest. One's dead in probably 7 years.
Gary's got more in him than that.
So if Gary, I don't know.
He's going pretty hard behind your back.
If Gary said to you, it's me or the dog.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Do you know, I'd hide the dog. I'd say I'd choose Gary, of course, but I'd have to keep the dog hidden somewhere and then just sneak off like a second family.
All right, 13, 24, 10, if there's been an ultimatum in your relationship.
Jess in Campbelltown, you gave an ultimatum to your partner, Jess, did you?
No, I was living with my best friend in some apartments and she started dating my brother.
Oh, no.
And then I came home from work one time and her door was locked and I was knocking and she came out, but she then closed and I was like, who's there? And she's like, no one. I'm like, let me in. And I went in and there was her ex-boyfriend.
Oh no. Did you give the ultimatum on the spot, Jess, or did you come back?
No, I said, come upstairs. And we went upstairs and I said, look, you either tell my brother that what you've just done or I will. And she said, don't do that. You're going to ruin it. I'm like, no, you've ruined it. So I gave her 2 days and she didn't tell him. Yeah. And so I told my brother.
Well done, Jess.
Yeah, right. There it is.
Yeah. Same thing.
How'd it go down?
He then asked her, like, you know, what happened. And she admitted and, he left her straight away.
God, then
I moved out the very next day.
God, everyone's gone their own ways. One silly move can break up everything.
The heart would have been pumping. And then, I mean, once you do one ultimatum, does it then start, you know, does it start raining? You know what I mean? See, can you just start saying to anyone?
Yeah, here's another one.
Pick me up from work or else I'm leaving the relationship.
Ultimatum.
I've just been throwing them out left, right and centre.
Bit extreme.
Yeah.
Amy, hello.
Hi.
You gave your boyfriend an ultimatum, is that right?
Yes,
What happened, though?
Well, we've been dating for quite a while, and I told him, I'm like, we either get married or we have a baby.
Oh, God, and, that's a lot of pressure for the big fella. Yeah.
Yes. But in the end, I was about 6 months pregnant, and he proposed to me on his birthday.
Oh, so did you not realise you were pregnant at the time, Aime?
Yeah,
I did.
And how?
But you hadn't told him.
Sorry?
You hadn't told him.
No, he knew. Like, I told him as soon as I found out. I was about 6 months pregnant when he proposed to me.
That's a beautiful story.
And how many hours a day do you let him out of the basement that you've got at home there, Aime? Or is he just locked up the whole time, or...?
No,
he's
allowed out.
Oh, yeah, just. He is now, last month. Not good. Thanks, Aime. Appreciate your story.
Stu, in Carringbar.
Good morning.
Hi, Disco.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Disco Stu.
Yeah, look, I was in a relationship for about a year or so. Everything was running really smoothly. And then she reached a stage where she was interested in marriage and she started to say a few things. And look, I never really thought anything of it. Mm. And then she started really seriously and she was hassling me. And she said, hey, I want to help you out. And I said, oh, this is going to be... She said, I got three rings, and these were from other relationships she was in.
Yeah.
And she said, I want you to melt them down and make them into a ring, and you can hand it over and say, oh, will you marry me?
Mm.
And I said, that would have to be the most offensive thing anybody's ever said to me before in my life, because if I want to marry you, I'm going to say, I'm going to look around for a ring, I'll shop.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to ask you out on a weekend or a night out, and I'm going to say, hey, I love you, let's get married.
Yeah, exactly.
And she was really offended. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. She was really offended. And it was only a few months later, and the relationship ended.
Did she understand?
That's surprising, huh?
Yeah, Stu, did she understand, though, why you would have been offended by the other three rings? You wanted to do your own thing?
Not at all. Not at all. She was really offended because she would thought, she was helping.
Yeah, she was trying to help.
No.
And maybe she thought money was in.
Wait up, Sarah. I'm going to stop you there. And for any girl out there who feels like they're going to do the same thing, don't put pressure on your guy and say you're going to help them out by buying them a ring or something like that. For guys, it's a special thing to surprise you with a proposal.
You're pointing at me and raising your voice.
Yeah, but Sarah, stop yelling, please.
See, this is part of the plan.
She's innocent.
We want to make it a surprise. We want to see that look on your face.
And that's lovely, but she might have just been trying to help.
No, well, Disco Stu, he's DJing on the weekend trying to get extra money for the wedding, you know, and the poor bugger, and she's there going, well, why don't you, Stu, get off your bum and melt down these three rings and do it yourself. And he's like, well, now you've stuffed up my plans.
I'm just going to step outside the studio while he finishes, Sam. Yeah, right. He's got another 5 minutes in him.
He's playing Darude Sandstorm on the weekend and she's trying to melt down rings.
Do you know that Stu is a DJ?
That relationship was destined to fail.
He's really glad that he called the show. I mean, like we were talking with the team getting sick, I needed some fresh air last night. It was about 7:30 and I thought, you know what? She's going to go for a walk. I got some new sneakers too, mate.
Well done. Congrats, mate.
Just to hit the track a little bit harder and get the right support under my heels.
No, they were
Asics.
Oh, great.
Got the gel and all that sort of fancy sort of support stuff. So I thought I'll give them a bit of a run. Anyway, so I thought I would head to the park. And I don't know if you guys have ever had that moment where you've quickly turned into the accidental hero. Unexpected. You see something and you think, God, I need to step up here. You know, one of those moments where you go, I never thought this was about to happen, but now I'm on.
I had this the other day. An old man fell over in front of me when I was up the street getting a coffee after work.
And you helped him up?
Yeah.
I tripped, and a hero comes along.
Thank you. I tripped,
first of all, and I'm not that old.
He had a broken rib, and he was not good.
I had it a while ago too, Sarah, at a service station. There was a guy there who had gone down in his wheelchair to get his tyres pumped up, and I helped him fill his tyres.
Well,
I can be your hero. I didn't say I could be your hero, baby, to the old man in the wheelchair.
I actually had one yesterday.
Yep.
Lenny came up with me to get a coffee, and there was a bloke who couldn't get his thongs on. He had his hand up against a pole, and he couldn't get one of his thongs on. It had a few.
Yeah, sure.
And so I helped him put his thong on.
Did you really?
And then at the end, he said, have you got any money? And I gave him a fiver, and he said, thank you very much, mate. I appreciate
it. What a tightwad. Give him a 10.
I watched him go across the street, across the road, and straight into a BWS.
Okay, well, you're a hero. Just bottle
grab himself cask another wine. VB.
He might have needed a water. They sell water.
Thanks so much for helping me out, mate. Anyway, so yesterday, got my new shoes on, I'm making my way. Then all of a sudden, I can hear this banging. I'm thinking, where the hell is that coming from? And I could hear a fair bit of noise. Then I realised there was a car not far from me. It was like a four-wheel drive. And in the back, I could see a girl wriggling around. And I thought, oh, my God. This is like a, it was like a, in the back of a four-wheel drive. Mm. So not on the car seats at all, right in the back. And the side car door, the back door was slightly open. So I thought, oh, my God. She's been kidnapped. Has she just wrestled her way out of a Hessian bag? Are there bikies involved? Is anyone staring at the car? Is anyone going to be running towards me? I might need to use my Arakan. I didn't know what to do. What's all that? I could hear this girl. That's my martial art that I do. No back one's fist. No one's maybe it. A hammer punch as well. I might be able to use that. And then I thought, what do I do here? So I just leant my head in the car, back of the car door, and I said, is everything all right? And then I heard this girl in the back of the car. So, yeah, I'm just getting changed.
I was going to say, she's getting dressed in the back of your... What are you hanging around like a creeper?
She's getting changed in the back of...
What do you think she was... You thought...
I didn't know what she was doing. It was tinted windows and I could hear a girl.
Hey, love, what are you doing?
Well, over the weekend, this was huge on social media, went into meltdown. And I know Ramsey Street have had some huge stars pop in and knock on doors, have a few affairs. A few people have died.
Yep.
But Adele... Biggest artist in the world at the moment has stopped into Ramsey Street because she loves Neighbours so much. Is she going to be on the show? Was she just there for a tour? We need to find out more details. So we've got Dr. Carl Kennedy on the line, a.k.a. Alan Fletcher. Alan, welcome to the show, buddy.
Good to see you, Whipper. Lovely to speak to you.
Fletch, big moment, of course, to have Adele visit Ramsey Street. Can you confirm she will actually be on the show?
Look, I can't confirm yet because she hasn't done her audition yet.
Oh, she hasn't got through.
She's struggling a little bit with the accent.
Yeah. I thought that might happen.
And she does have a propensity to let the occasional expletive slide out as well. So that's not too good for TV. But, you know, I'm sure we can fix that up. I'm furious, of course, because she came to Ramsey Street exactly the point of time when I had to get out of the milk bar to get some milk.
Fletch. Yeah. No, God, good. Did anyone see her at all there, Fletch, or was it a private tour?
Well, no one saw her. It was very much under the radar, and I know that she's been exceptionally good at avoiding paparazzi moments. So yes, they obviously planned that out very, very well.
Because people actually live in the houses, don't they, Fletch?
They do indeed. We have a wonderful relationship with the people in the street. They live there, and I'm sure, you know, they may have well opened the curtains and thought, who's that lass out there? She looks rather familiar to me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Since you've been on the show, who's been the biggest guest that you've had stroll through the doors, Fletch?
Well, my favourite was Chris Martin, I think. When I was way back when just as Coldplay was starting out, they came to Australia and did a tour, a promotional tour. I think they played Chapel Off Chapel, if you can believe it.
Yep.
And... they came out to the studios. Chris was a big fan of Neighbours, and he met Toadie, Ryan Maloney, at the gig. And,
awesome.
And Ryan said, well, why don't you come and visit? So I remember bumping into them in the corridor and being introduced and said, oh, you Coldplay. Yeah, no, that's cool. You've got that song, Yellow. It's rather, that's a good song. I like that word.
Good luck with the music industry.
Yeah, good luck. I actually did say, I said, good luck with it all. I hope it goes well. and of course, they were back 10 years later as possibly one of the biggest bands in the world. And the great thing was that Chris Martin actually contacted Ryan and said, hey, if anyone wants to come to the show, please come down and stick around afterwards for my birthday celebration.
Yeah, right.
Which was really awesome. Private and really pleasant. And you know, that level of appreciation for the show is so appreciated. It makes you feel fantastic to know that the people are still watching on that level.
Well, Fletch, it's great to hear that not only has Eddie Redmayne said that you were the inspiration behind his acting, now Coldplay can say, well, you know what? Dr. Carl encourages us to go and do the things we've done.
I completely changed the direction of their music.
Hey, an article came out yesterday, Alan. You probably didn't see this, but Neighbours stars that have gone on to earn the most money. Unfortunately, you didn't make the top 10 list.
I'm 11.
Yeah.
Holly Valance topped it.
Channel 11. No, but what came in at number one, Alan?
I didn't see it, but I suspect it would probably have to be Kylie, I should think.
Well, no, that's what we thought. Kylie or Russell Crowe, who made an appearance, but it's not. They put down Holly Valance because she married a billionaire.
Ah, yes. Well, that will do it every time, won't it?
Yeah.
Is it too late for you and Gina Reinhart? just an idea, Fletch.
She has. Look, she just doesn't take my calls anymore. Sorry. I've written it off.
Hey, just quickly, before you go, there have been rumours circling at the moment that over in the UK they're cutting the funding and they're getting rid of Neighbours. What have you heard, Alan? Have you found, is it going ahead, or could we see that it could be winding up pretty soon?
Well, I have to say to you, fellas, in 22 years of being on Neighbours, it's not the first time a tabloid newspaper has suggested that Neighbours is in its death throes. All I can see is that their relationship with our broadcast, Channel 5, Channel 11, couldn't be better and couldn't be stronger. And and with the stories that we're doing at the moment, particularly right now, actually, the stories on air, you can see them in Australia as well, of course. Mm-hmm. Toadie's over in London chasing Dee Bliss. Well, that storyline has been probably one of the most successful we've ever had in terms of audience numbers
and
interest. So it's absolutely going off at the moment.
Mate, long live Neighbours. Absolutely. Thanks, Fletch.
Thank you, Charles. Good on you.
Always good to chat, buddy.
Good on you, mate. This is not bad. When's the last time you updated your resume?
God.
Years ago now.
No. It's nerve-wracking, isn't it? Because it gets updated all the time. The layout, where you've got to put stuff.
Yeah, it was always a one-pager. What should you include? Who are your references?
And by the time you go to do it, the font you used back then doesn't exist anymore, so they're not compatible, so it looks all over the place.
Do you chuck in a little bit of sense of humour? I don't think employers like that.
Yeah, I put a photo on it. Definitely.
Anyway, a guy's taken it to a new level. He's taken his resume, but he's started one for himself for dating.
Okay.
So he hands his resume out to girls.
What's his name?
He's not a bad looking bloke, sir. Young fella. Joseph Adams, his name.
Oh, yeah.
He goes through his strengths.
So, Joseph A. Adams, lover of breakfast foods and puppies.
Who isn't a lover of breakfast foods?
And puppies.
Then it goes through, like, his education. BS of chemical engineering. Honours college.
Yep.
Work experience. This is... Okay, I'm not lying here, but this is work experience as a lubricants consultant at Shell Oil Company, okay?
Sure.
So this is some of these stuff. Skills. Rollerblading. Oops. Crying during Marley and Me.
Yes.
Replying to long texts. Acting like a dad in public. There's a bit of humour.
That's a bit weird. That's really good fun.
His favourite movies, Up, the Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
His favourite TV show is The Office.
He's not serious.
His favourite musical artist is John Mayer. Have we got Your Body is a Wonderland in
there? That is a good song.
There haven't been many people confessing to loving John Mayer for a while, have there?
No, that is a great song. Hand your resume over.
Your Body is a Wonderland.
What?
No, we've only got this one.
Oh, yeah.
No, don't worry about that. Hey Siri, play Your Body is a Wonderland. Yeah, hey Siri.
What is going on? His objective in life, to find a honey with a bitchin' family who enjoys sushi, travelling and good movies.
All right,
there's your cell.
He makes great small talk with parents, drives in style via an 09 Honda Civic, has never lost a Snapchat streak. What's a Snapchat streak?
I don't know.
And he's got no Tinder record, Sarah, because I don't objectify women for the sake of getting some booty.
That's not bad.
Well, hang on.
Does he go on past experience? Has he got anything like that?
This is his resume. Do you reckon that would work? It is a little bit different.
Strength.
If you hand it out at university, I reckon your strike rate would be pretty good.
Yeah. I think it's hard as a woman to look past a man who can admit that he cries during Marley and Me, because it is possibly the saddest dog film ever. Have you, Whippy, you're looking at me like you've never seen it. You used to have a Labrador growing up, didn't you?
No, I had a Golden Retriever, yeah.
Well, it's all
Cassie,
about
her name was.
Jennifer Aniston
don't have
and
to
Owen
tell
Wilson.
Us what
she had a bit of an issue.
I know, yeah. and you've said it 48
what was
times
it?
On air.
Then what was it?
It was a prolapsed vulva or something.
I didn't say it.
Oh,
I didn't say
you
it.
Think it's so funny?
No, I don't
it's
think
not.
It's funny. Poor
you do.
Cassie had to be put down. I was just telling you what brought her to her end.
We know what happened to her.
Unfortunately, it was a terrible infection as well.
Yeah, you never fed
Mum
it.
Mum had
poor
to put
dog.
Cream on it.
And what about the dog?
Oh.
Josiah, if that's what you think is funny,
Sarah, then that is. Boom.
No, we're not getting out on that. Stop the music. Stop the music. Stop the music.
That is.
But
that,
we're not getting out on
you,
that.
Christine,
that
is the so best. Sorry.
You know what? Mum, if you're listening to the show, can you call right now? Because Sarah has just suggested that there was a cream required for yourself.
Yeah, please, Christine.
Clear that up.
Because I've left my undies at your place.
What?
When you think of Bondi, well, you think of the Sunrise Weather presenter, you think of Sam Mack with his top off down there, and he joins us now. Sammy!
Sammy!
Good morning. Thank you, Whipper. Hello, how are you, Jed?
Please describe to us exactly what you're doing on Bondi Beach this morning, because I'm confused.
Okay, so this morning on Bondi Beach, I will be filming a video clip, a music video clip, with Nikki Webster.
Wow.
Of a, you know, Sydney 2000 Olympics fame, because we have relaunched Strawberry Kisses, her 2001 hit, which made it to number 2 on the chart. It was beat by Shaggy. It wasn't me. It's a tragedy. It's time to right that wrong. So we have re-released the song, and today we're shooting the video clip. I'm actually legitimately a recording artist. We've made it into the top 10 on the iTunes Australia
chart.
Wow. Hey, about time, mate.
And like, I mean, Nikki Webster, I mean, we've seen Nikki for the last, 17 years since the Olympics, but she's never performed it since. And this all happened when you were up on the top of the Harbour Bridge. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We just thought, you know, it'd be good to get someone up there. And for some reason, I was just thinking of Australian icons. You know, you think Sydney Harbour Bridge, Opera House, and she just came to mind. And, you know, like some musical collabs, and that's short for collaboration, are meant to be. Like, you know, you've kind of got Jay-Z. We're kind of like the affordable Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Very, very close. Mate, I want to congratulate you on the numbers too, because there's so many people that have viewed, you know, the start of your song and that clip from the Harbour Bridge. But, Fitzy, I don't know if you've seen this. I fell into a bit of a trap. I feel a bit rickrolled because I looked at Sam Mack's page, and on Facebook it says Ed Sheeran collaborates with Adele. And when you click on the video, it very quickly goes from a picture of Ed Sheeran and Adele to Sam Mack and Nikki Webster. So, look, the numbers are up, but I think it's a bit of a...
Mate, there's still numbers. It doesn't matter how you get them. Do you remember that thing for a while that everyone would send around an email called Rickrolled?
Yes.
Where, like, so we go, hey, check out this amazing emotional video. And then it's just that, you know, that Rick Astley song,
I'm
never going to give you
up.
Anyway, so this is, I'm trying to start a new thing called You've Just Been Strawberry Kissed, where you send someone a link, like telling them it's one thing, but it's actually the new version of Strawberry Kisses featuring me.
Wow. Okay, all right. So we've all heard the original Strawberry Kisses before, but Sammy gets involved as well. Here's a little bit of a snippet.
My girl Nikki Webster, where have you been? Since you flew into our hearts when you were just 13. That day in September, Australia remembers, was the year 2000, but it's with us forever. Now she's back on stage with an MC on a minimum wage. But ignore the haters, the trolls, the dissers, and always believe in Strawberry Kisses.
Oh, wow. That is. Sam, I mean, when you think of Nikki Webster, yes, there was the Olympics, then Strawberry Kisses, then she started a dance academy. Will you now be investing in that and also working at the dance academy?
Well, she might need a few extra time. Well, this is a true story. When we decided that we wanted to use Nikki, you know, on top of the Harbour Bridge, I asked our producing team if we could call her, because I'm too busy to make those calls.
Yeah, of course.
And what happened was he called the Nikki Webster dance studio. You'll never guess who answered the phone.
Who was it?
It was Nikki Webster.
Oh, no way!
Got
herself.
If you ever want an exclusive chat with her, or you just want to catch up, just call the dance studio.
See, that is brilliant.
That's fantastic.
Now, you can download it on iTunes, and also doing a great job as well, because we love the Starlight Foundation. All proceeds are going to the Starlight Foundation. Is that correct, Sammy?
Yeah, that's right, Fitzy. They do an amazing job. I'm sure you guys have done a lot with them. Basically, if you're not familiar, they help families and kids who are going through a tough situation with sickness, but they help them by putting a smile on their face and basically giving them a fun experience to take their mind off what they're going through. So we're both very passionate about it. We've already raised thousands of dollars, which is exciting, but we want to keep, you know, going with people downloading the song and get it as high as we can in the charts and make as much money for Starlight Foundation, and then obviously the added bonus of launching my rap career.
Well, do you know what? I'm seeing you at the moment. I'm visioning you. You're down at the beach and you are dressed. You're I'd say, a
top
combination
off
of Eminem and maybe Urkel from...
definitely more Urkel than Eminem. But you're on the money.
Do you need extras down there, Sammy, if people
you know
turn
what?
Up?
Like, we're actually open to, if people around Bondi, probably around lunchtime today, if you're around there, we would actually find some space for people to be in it. And we're also including your listeners and you guys, if you want to shoot a little video of like lip syncing to the song,
yep.
We're going to put a heap of them in the official video clip as well. Just
good
send
idea.
It to us on Facebook.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thanks for giving it a shout out. And now you're going to play the whole song, is that right?
mate, we're running out of time. We're gonna have to leave you there, mate. But thanks so much for being on the show. Yeah.
Yep. Download it. Don't download it on iTunes.
Hey guys. When's our red room?
Gotta fly, buddy. Great to chat. Midzi and Whipper. Nova.